back with us for his second visit of the week, the top dog, Hanford Dixon. Hanford, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. I'm a little bit upset. Did you watch the Tribe yesterday? Were you at the game?
I wasn't at the game, but I tried to stay with it as long as I could. That thing just kept going forever.
Well, I understand. Yeah. We broke all kind of records for opening day, but yeah. I thought Matheson just I wasn't at the game, but like you, I watched it and listened to it, and I thought he did a phenomenal job. Obviously, he was up to 99 pitches, and we took him out in the ninth.
I started lunch, and I think I was still watching it past dinner. So.
But I hate we lost that game. Other than that, I'm doing okay.
Okay. Tough stuff. Hey, in this division, speaking about tough, the AFC North, a couple of stories that I thought were interesting that we would address today. Joe Flacco being one where he was on a radio station making a comment that he's, quote, the best quarterback in football. I always felt that if you're the best anything, you don't necessarily have to declare it. If you have to declare it, then there might not only be some doubt out there about that, but even in your own mind. What is your sense of where this guy is? Because his game is always the subject of a lot of discussion as to just how much he drives whatever the Ravens' success has been about since he's been there. And I just feel he's a guy maybe still lacking that identity and wanting to establish it whatever way he can.
Well, I have to say this, like I'm sure you probably was, I was a little bit surprised by the comments that Joe made. I thought it was a little bit out of character for him to make a statement like the one that he made. I don't know whether he's jockeying, trying to get a new contract or what, but to say that he's the best quarterback out there is a really, really crazy statement. I mean, because, I mean, when you're talking about, you got guys like Tom Brady, you got still Peyton Manning, just to name a couple of guys that jumped right
Brees.
Up. Drew Brees,
Rodgers
in Green Bay, and we can go on and we can go on and on. And when you look at Joe Flacco, I mean, let's face it, Joe Flacco is a good quarterback. He's a decent quarterback, but who's been carrying that football team, talking about the Baltimore Ravens? Let's face it, it's been that defense. And when they've been winning football games, they've been winning by Joe Flacco just tell him not to make a mistake.
Right.
But I was, to answer your question, Vic, a little bit surprised by his comments. Again, I thought they were out of character for him to even come and make a comment like that, because there are a lot of good quarterbacks in the National Football League.
In the AFC North, is he better than Ben Roethlisberger? I mean, you could make the argument there that he's...
And we didn't even, you know, I didn't even mention Ben's name.
Yeah, I was just going to say that he's still staring up at
that
him.
Whole thing of quarterback. Yeah. And you look at Ben, I mean, you talk about the Super Bowl rings. I mean, he's got it, been there, and he's proved it. Ben is a quarterback, obviously, that can play on any kind of conditions. The pressure, he's been there. I mean, he's a guy that's, he is mobile to, you know, to be as big as he is,
right?
But Ben has got a strong arm, and Ben, I would tell him, I'm gonna put him right up there with the top quarterbacks. And
you mentioned Ben Roethlisberger. We talked about him. He's gonna have, it looks like, the target that he certainly would want in Mike Wallace, a dynamic playmaker. But what's interesting about Mike Wallace is he went out there looking for a big payday in the open market, or I should say as a restricted free agent, not quite as open as others, but thought there would be a payday for him. And lo and behold, he's still with the Steelers. Meanwhile, other receivers have signed other places. Mario Manningham, Randy Moss have joined the 49ers. Brandon Lloyd, Dante Stallworth, Anthony Gonzalez, they're on the Patriots. You see Pierre Garçon end up with the Redskins. So he's still there, and other guys have changed teams, and it doesn't look like there's much of a market. Adam Schefter from ESPN was saying that, that it looked like some of those teams that signed other receivers would be interested in him, and they haven't been, and now it looks like there's really no interest in him in the league.
Well, I could tell you, I'm shocked. I mean, I am actually shocked. I think there's a big question mark as far as when it comes to me, unless the other teams know something that I don't know. I mean, I watched the kid. I mean, the kid is very fast. I mean, he had a phenomenal season. He out of Mississippi, Ole Miss, I want to say, is where he's out of. And for him, not to anyone to throw a contract at him is surprising to me. Now, obviously, you know, you can't just go and sign this kid without some consequences, but he has put up phenomenal numbers. He's a guy that can stretch the defense, very, very fast wide receiver with great hands. And it's not often that you can get a guy that could stretch the defense and have the great hands. I remember when I played Vic, the fastest guy that I played against was a guy with the New York Jets. It's called Lamb Jones. Now, Mike Wallace is a lot like Lamb Jones, but I think he is better. And what I mean by that is those two guys, they get up on you as a corner or a defensive back. They really get up on you really, really fast. And that make a cornerback very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I know I was uncomfortable because then, you know, you got to turn. You got to get out of your back pedal. You got to do certain things that you don't normally do as a defensive back. So Mike Wallace is one of those guys. And not only is he fast, but he can catch the football and great routes. And for not anyone to sign him or even show any interest in him. Not a nibble. You're exactly right. And I find that weird.
Yeah, I was – as you said it best. What do other people know maybe that the rest of us don't? Because if you just take it at face value, you would think he'd get a lot of play, and it wasn't the case. A story that has been so troubling and ongoing, of course, is the Bounty story regarding the Saints and the latest chapter in that since we last talked about this, Hanford. And we have Hanford Dixon on. Of course, he's a regular here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Is the tapes, the sound of Greg Williams talking, a documentary was put together or as part of it. Access was granted by the Saints, and there is audio of Greg Williams giving specific instructions to players prior to the Saints playoff game against the 49ers this past season to take certain players, not just take them out, I mean cause specific injuries to them, to the knee, to the head, so forth, test their toughness, hit the, you know, kill the head and the rest of the body will die or something to that effect. So harsh stuff. What is your reaction to that?
Well, first let me say, wow. I mean, and I'm going to say it again, wow. Yeah. And I'm laughing, and you know, and it don't take my laughing out of context. I don't think anything is funny by what I heard.
No, I know you're serious about this,
with those tapes. I think he went too far. I mean, I think he went way, way, way too far. I mean, when I listened to what he was saying and some of the things that he was saying in that pregame speech, it doesn't take all that. It doesn't take all that to get a guy ready to go. First of all, the guys in the National Football League are professionals. Okay, get paid to do something that they like doing, and they're motivated already, not by the money, just because they love the game, just because they want to be the best at what they do.
Sure. Right?
Because we're playing against the best athletes, I feel, in the world. And you know, some of the thoughts, like you said, hit the head and kill the head and the body will follow. You know, for instance, I think I heard one of the guys had torn up a knee or something, and he wanted him to go after that knee. You got to be kidding me. I mean, why would I just think it was such a stupid thing for him to say. And you know what I think, Vic? I think when you go back over it and you see him right now and he look at it, I think he understands now the mistake that he made. And I honestly think that there is remorse there coming from him, because you notice he didn't appeal his suspension.
Right.
And all I could say, Vic, is to what happened and what I heard on that tape was wow.
It made me, I mean, I love this game probably as much as I can love anything beyond family. Seriously, I mean, that there's such an attachment there, everything about it. For the first time, it really made, and I know Greg Williams, and I know a lot of the people involved in this whole situation on all sides of it, but for the first time, I didn't feel comfortable about the game. It bothered me that deeply that I questioned exactly what this was. And when I saw the video, some of the highlight video or low light video that has been put together to sort of demonstrate the kinds of hits that were going on, and how unnecessary it was. I've always appreciated and understood. And yes, the attraction of what this game is physical and such. All that is great, I think. But this, you could see where there is a line you shouldn't cross or can't cross. And I hear you as a player, as a former player, play the defensive side, who certainly relished his share of contact as a player. To hear your reaction and then to hear the reaction of other current and other former players and coaches and administrators. And it just doesn't make you feel good.
No.
It really just gets your stomach. And I guess I'm hopeful here that this is, I want to say the end of it. I don't know if we could say it's the end of it, but I really hope it's the end of it.
Well, I hope it is, and I think it is, because, again, the commissioner, I guarantee you, he's made a statement. He's been loud and clear on this whole issue, and he's gotten everyone's attention. If it's going on, or if it, I know it's not going on now. I mean, you would have to be just out of your mind to be thinking about any kind of anything with bounty on it right now. The commissioner has made itself clear, and I guarantee you, there's no one right now want anything to do with anything like that. And with Williams right now, he's had a time to think about this whole thing, and he must be saying to himself, what was I thinking about? Mm-hmm. What was I saying? What was I doing? I mean, it was idiotic, some of the things that I heard coming out of his mouth. But again, my whole comment on this whole thing is, wow.
One last thing on a wild note. A lot was made of, and we've touched on this a little bit earlier in the week, the Morris Claiborne test, the Wunderlich test that put him in a position where, to use the word, I guess, embarrassment would probably be an understatement, but a low score that was reported that he had a 4, and people sort of then taking either the meaning of the test, it's lent itself to discussion just beyond Morris Claiborne. But I want to take it back to the analysis side of it. You, as a corner who judges, I'm sure, young corners all the time and their worthiness of whether or not you see an NFL player there or what kind of NFL player you see there, how much do you, because there is some, to go along with the great skill that you had as a player and that you look for in other players, Hanford, how much, when we talk about the intelligence aspect, does that concern you with that player?
Well, I could tell you this. When you're talking about Morris, I mean, and a lot of people may think a different way than I do about this whole thing. It wouldn't concern me at all because, and I'll tell you why, because I watched him play. I see the talent that this kid has. I mean, this kid is playing at LSU. I mean, you're talking about one of the top schools in the nation. You're talking about a school that pretty much every year is in the top 10 as far as ranked among universities. And LSU, when you look at their scheme and the way they play defense, it's not it's somewhat of a complicated scheme. What I would do, and I'm sure a lot of the defensive coordinators and a defensive back coach and the general managers and pro personnel guy around the league, I'm sure they go in, they talk to, and I'm not saying the test is not important because it is, but they go in and they talk to the coaches, his coach. They talk to, obviously, Les Miles, the head coach, and about this young man. They already know he could play. They already know he can run. They already know he can cover. They talk to him about this. And after talking to them, you know, I say, hey, this kid is ready to go because he can play. And it wouldn't bother me at all. I would bring him right in here right now. Mm-hmm. He can come in here and he can start at the corner position.
Yeah, I concur. I think that's a case. And if there are other issues with regard to learning or whatever it might be, I think you can work with that. But I think the guy on his skill level and what he seems to put into the game as a football player, all of those things seem to grade out.
And you have to feel bad for him. That just like you said, that it's out there right now, and it's something he's got to deal with. But you know, the kid is, my understanding, you know, he could play. He could play. Yeah. And I would take him right now. All you other teams, leave him alone. Leave him. If we don't take him in the first round, please let him stay there till we pick again. Okay, and you'll see.
Nice, Hanford. Great stuff as always, and thank you so much.
Amen. You know, I always, wherever you lead, I follow.
All right. Well, we will lead again and follow again next next week. He is Hanford Dixon.
Happy Easter.
The top dog, and wishing everybody happy Easter. Absolutely. Here on Cleveland Browns Daily, it's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12. EA Sports, it's in the game.